Father, we thank you for our time together already in the time of worship, just being in your presence and enjoying singing your praises. Father, just communing with you. And so, Father, we are definitely here in your presence. And we come to ask for you to speak to us, as you already have undoubtedly through the music, through the songs, and just moving among us. But Lord, as we get into your word, we pray you'll continue to reveal yourself, that we will hear from you. For Father, nobody here needs to know what I have to say. But every one of us need to know what you have to say to us this morning. We're all in a different spot. We're all dealing with different things, but we're all dealing with something. So I pray you meet us where we are, and you will just speak to us and minister to us and guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a story of a very hard-living, hard-playing man. He found himself in a bar. He had a little bit too much to drink, so he decides to walk home. As he's walking home, he comes by this big tree, and a thunderstorm is rolling in, and just as he gets to this big tree, lightning strikes that tree and splits it right in two. Well, that really got the man's attention. It scared him a little bit. So he goes out and seeks out the local preacher. Well, the preacher talks to him, reassures him, he talks to him, shares the gospel with him, shares how he can come to know Christ, and the man listens, but he's not terribly sure that he wants to do that. He's not terribly sure he wants to give up his rowdy ways. And so the next Saturday, he's back at the same bar, sitting on the same stool, and he gets a little too much to drink, and he's headed home, and he goes by that tree that was struck by lightning. And he stops there, and he looks at that tree, and he goes, God, if you're real, have lightning strike that tree a second time. No sooner had he said that than the lightning came and struck the tree a second time. The man gave his life to Christ on the spot. So he got involved in church, and every time the preacher asked for a testimony, he would get up, he would share how he came to Christ, and how lightning struck that tree twice. Well, one day an evangelist came to town, and the evangelist asked for testimonies. The man stood up as usual, gave his testimony, and the evangelist celebrated with the man, said, that's wonderful, I'm glad God touched your life. But he looked at him and asked this question. He said, but what has God done in your life since? The man in the story was so focused on what God had done, he was not looking for God to move now. He wasn't looking to God for doing anything else. We've got to be careful as believers, and we can fall into that same trap. We can focus so much on what God has done that we're not looking for God to do something right now. And we're not expecting him to do anything in the future. How sad it would be to experience salvation like the man in the story, and then 20 years later not have an answer for what has God done for you lately? Have you experienced him since? So, I don't want you to get me wrong, though. It is very important to celebrate those things that God has done. How God has blessed you, what God has done in your life, the things that you've seen him do. We celebrate those, and we celebrate the one who's given us those blessings as well. And it's very important to celebrate those things. So don't get me wrong that we don't need to celebrate what God has done. We need to do both. But we've got to realize that as great as those blessings have been, how great God has blessed us, he wants to bless us even more. And he wants to bless us each and every day. So, as you can tell, our name of our message is More. And we'll be in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. And we meet a man here by the name of Jabez. He came to understand what we've just been talking about. That God not only wants to work in your life, he didn't just work in your life in the past, but he wants to work in your life today and tomorrow as well. So let's turn there, if you haven't already, to 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Just two verses today. And I will tell you this. My kids growing up always hated it when I only had one or two verses, because they said the shorter the verses, the longer the sermon. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but that was the way they gauged that. And I don't think that's true today. But anyway, so let's read those two verses. You follow along in the translation you have. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And if you've got a newer International Version, yours may be even read a little different than this. But starting in verse 9 of chapter 4, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, that your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The sum of what we know about Jabez is right here in these two verses. We don't see his name anywhere else in the scriptures. And due to the placement of the passage and the context, we know he was born, at least, during the time of the conquest of Canaan. The Israelites had crossed the Jordan River. They were taking possession of the promised land. So there was a lot going on when he was born. And we're told about the circumstances of his birth. And they were not good. We don't know why his mom was in distress when she gave birth. We don't know whether it was a physical pain, whether it was some sort of emotional distress. We don't know why she was unsettled, but whatever it was difficult. And she ended up naming her son Jabez. Now, Jabez means intense sorrow, anguish, or pain. That's what his name meant. But even though the circumstances surrounding his birth were less than ideal, even though he had a name that we have to agree was less than flattering, he didn't let that hold him back. He did not let the past determine his future. How do we know that? Well, look at how he's described there. It says he was more honorable than his brothers there in verse 9. More honorable than his brothers. What does that mean, that he was more honorable? Well, what that means is that he was upright. He was right with God. Now, that doesn't mean he was perfect. Doesn't mean he had it all together. But it does mean that he did his best to walk with the Lord. He had a relationship with him. And because of that relationship, he was known for a man of integrity, a man of honesty, a man of morals in a world that was not known for those things at all. And it's precisely because of that relationship that he asks for more. He cries out to God. He asks for what he desires. He says there in the verse, Oh, that you would bless me. He's saying, Lord, give me more blessings. It's a very bold prayer, very sincere prayer, earnest prayer. Now, when it says he cried out to the Lord, that doesn't mean he just said it in passing. Have you ever been praying and you pray for something and it just crosses your mind, pray for it once as you're going through the day and it didn't cross your mind again? Well, that was not this prayer at all. This was the desire of his heart. This is what he wanted more with every fiber of his being. So he asked God to bless him because he wanted God to move in his life. Now, it would be easy to look at this and say he was asking because he'd never been blessed before. You know, he wants God to bless him because he had never experienced God's hand in his life, but that's not the case. He's asking God particularly because he has been blessed before. He knows what that's like, and so he wants more of that. But even though God blessed him in the past, he didn't want to settle for that. He didn't ever say, you know, God, that's been great. You've blessed me. It's been wonderful, but I don't think I need you in my life anymore. It's okay. I've got it from here. That was not him at all. He didn't settle for that. He had experienced his mercy and his grace. He'd seen his power in his life. He'd guided him. And instead of saying, I've had enough, he says, I want more. Lord, give me more of your blessings. Please, I can't get enough. Bless me again. Bless me in greater ways. How many of you have ever taken a child to an amusement park? Ever taken more than one child to an amusement park? Well, my aunt was keeping my little sister in my cousin one time, and they were both in elementary school, and she decided she was going to take him to Six Flags. Well, she took him to Six Flags. She had a hard time with them because their taste in rides were completely different, and they're in elementary school, so she can't leave one to ride with the other, so they had to figure out what they could ride together, and it wasn't working. So she called me. We were in seminary. We were living in Fort Worth. My sister, by the way, is 14 years younger than me. So that's one of the reasons why she was in elementary school. I wasn't driving when I was 12, so we're good. But she called me and said, I need help. So I went over to Arlington, went into Six Flags. We rode a few rides. Then we got to the Roaring Rapids. You know what that is? It's where you get in that big boat. Looks like an inner tube. It's got about 8 seats around it. You go down the river. And if you're lucky, you don't get wet. I did not get lucky. I was soaked when we got off of it the first time. But no sooner did we get off, my cousin goes, let's do it again. There was nobody at Six Flags that day. So we went around, just got right back on. We got off. What do you think he said? Let's do it again. We got back on. We rode it, I think, 13 times in a row. I was still wet when I got home. It was a 45-minute drive with the windows down. I don't think my clothes dried out till the next day. It was awful. But my cousin could not get enough. He wanted to experience it again and again and again and again and again and again. But undoubtedly, Jabez was the same way. He was thankful for all the blessings of the past, but he wanted to experience more. He wanted to experience the blessings of God again and again. So he asked the Lord to continue to work in his life, do even bigger and greater things than he had done before. So let me ask you this question. What about you? Do you want to experience God's love again? Do you want to experience his grace and his power again? Do you want to experience more of God again, now, today? What about tomorrow? So the question is, are we asking? Are we asking him to move in our lives again and again? Now, Jabez wanted God to bless him and pour himself into his life, but that wasn't enough. He didn't ask just to get so his life would be better, and he didn't ask so it'd be easier. He wanted more than that. So he not only says, Lord, that you would bless me, but he adds to that. He says that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Here he's asking, give me more influence. Now some people would look at Jabez's prayer for blessings and for more territory, and they would say, I would never, ever ask God for something like that. Because a lot of times they look at this and they see this as being prideful. That Jabez is somehow being selfish or arrogant because they look at that and think he's asking for more things, more possessions, more success. But that's not in it at all. He doesn't just want God to move in his life, but here he's saying, I want you to use me in the life of others. That's the whole idea of him expanding his territory. When we dig into the original language, we discover his request to enlarge those borders is not so he can seize power, not so he can lord it over others, not so that he can go, oh, look how good and important I am. Look how big I am. Look what I'm in charge of. That is not the case at all. It's so he can influence others for the Lord and show others how good his God is. His desire was to have influence and the resources necessary to do what the Lord wanted him to do. He said, God, let me be a part of what you're doing. Give me what I need to do that. Help me build your kingdom. That's what his prayer was about. How many of you are familiar with Jim Cimbala at the Brooklyn Tabernacle? Maybe you're familiar with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. That's what most people know, more than Brooklyn Tabernacle. Well, when they went there, it was a very small, struggling church, barely keeping the doors open. But Jim went, and he said he tells this story about when their first mortgage payment was due. He said when they looked at the checkbook, there was $160 in the checking account. Now, this was years ago, so the dollars are going to be small. But he said there was $160. He said, I remember praying on Monday, Lord, I need your help. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're going to pay this mortgage. And he said, I just knew God was going to do that. So the next morning on Tuesday, he went to the church, he gathered the mail thinking surely there'll be money in the mail. He looked in the mail and there was no money. He said, I was devastated. He said, I went up to my office, sit at my desk, and I cried out to the Lord for about an hour. He said, then a thought came to my mind. Hey, we not only have the mail slot in the door, we have a P.O. box across the street. So he jumps up from his desk, he goes to the P.O. box, opens it, looks in, and there's nothing in the P.O. box. He said, I trudged back across the street and opened the door, and when I did, there was something there that wasn't there before. There was a plain white envelope on the floor, unmarked, with $100 in it. He said, I began to celebrate in an empty church. But he said, I don't know to this day where that money came from. But he said this, and sorry about that, almost lost all my notes. If I lose my notes, we just go until I finally get done, so you never want to lose my notes. Just to decide, I did have somebody one time hide my notes. And that's why they know never to hide my notes, because I just went on and on and on. No, he gave me my notes back. But that's always my threat, is if you take my notes, we'll be here for 2 hours until I finally get around to the point. So, but anyway, I'll quote what he said. He says, to this day, I don't know where the money came from. I only know it was a reminder that God was near and that he's always faithful to give us what we need when we need it so we can carry on his work. And that's what Jabez was praying for. Just as Jim did. He wanted the resources. He wanted the influence to touch others' lives. And we should be praying the same thing, not just to touch the lost. It's great to see lost coming to the Lord. But look around the room. You have influence on everybody in this room as well. Not just the lost, but believers, your friends, your family, everybody that you have contact with. So Jabez was not just praying, Lord, use me to reach the lost. He was saying, Lord, use me to influence even your people. And we need to be praying that same thing because God wants to use us. But once again, the same question I asked before, are we asking? Do we want God to give us that influence and give us those resources so that we can impact for him? Are we asking him to move in our lives today and to use us today? If that's your desire, let him know. Ask him to make that a reality in your life. Now, Jabez was a smart guy. He was smart enough to know that just having influence and having resources was not enough. So he asked for something else. He asked for this. He said, that your hand might be with me. So he says, Lord, give me more blessings. Give me the influence I need to touch others. And give me more of you. Give me more of you. And in fact, he is praying, Lord, I don't want to, and I can't do this by myself. I can't do this on my own. You've got to be with me. I want you to guide me every step of the way. Because it's going to take your mighty hand to make this a reality. Therefore, he just humbly asked for God's wisdom to be able to use the blessings that had been given to him in the lives of others so he could do his will. So he submitted to the Lord with those words, submitted to his authority, just voiced his desire to spread God's fame rather than his own. That's what he was about. This is a revelation that we need to embrace. How many of you are let's roll up our sleeves and get it done kind of people? You like that? You see something, you roll up your sleeves, say, I've got this and this, I can do this. Let's get it done. Well, Jabez knew if he had everything that needed to be done, and he had it, and he didn't know how to use it in the right way, it would come to nothing. He would not be able to influence anybody with the love of God. It would be him doing it rather than God doing it. So he asked God to be involved in his life so that he would be effective for the kingdom. So when we're asking for more blessings, we're asking for influence, we need to ask for God to be right in the middle of that, to guide us and direct us and teach us. And so we need to ask him to do that. And then Jabez makes one more request. He says, Lord, give me more blessings. Lord, give me more influence. He said, Lord, give me more of you. And then he adds this. He says, and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. This is a request for freedom. He's saying, Lord, give me more freedom. This is a request that's got several layers to it. The first is pretty obvious. Lord, keep me from pain. Keep me from harm. Keep me from danger. You know? That's pretty obvious. But there's two other layers there that are not quite so obvious. And they can be obscured because the language and the culture that Jabez lived in is very different than ours. But if you dig into that, there's a second layer that goes a little bit deeper than just protection and safety. It is the desire to be free from. As he went about what God called him to do, he was asking God, don't let me be distracted or hindered by. Don't be afraid of what might happen. You know, they say we worry, 90% of what we worry about never happens. Well, that's what Jabez is praying. Don't let that 90% keep me from doing what you want me to do. Don't let me be afraid when I face obstacles. He didn't want fear to hold him back. So he asked God to take that fear away, to give him boldness to step out in faith. And then the final layer was even a little bit deeper. See, he asked God to set him free, not just from fear, not just keep him safe, but from his past. He said, don't let my past hold me back. Don't let anything keep me from moving forward and realizing your will for my life. Don't let pain, don't let fear, don't let my past hold me back from walking with you and making you known. And that's real easy to do, isn't it? To let our past hold us back. I mean, it really is. For fear, lots of things. There's a lot of people that fear will keep them from moving forward. Fear of the unknown. That's one of the biggies for a lot of people. The fear of the unknown. Fear of, let me just ask it this way. How many of you like change? Well, I like quarters and nickels and dimes and pennies, but I don't like the other kind of change. People fear change. It can be scary. But fear of all those things, fear of being hurt. You know, that's one of the reasons why people don't like to come up here and get a microphone and stand up in front of people. And speaking in public is one of the number one fears that everybody has. Is there a fear of being embarrassed, fear of being hurt, and that kind of thing. But they fear those things that may or may not happen. There's others who their past has just looms so large. They look back at the past and there's failures that have happened. There's difficulties that have arisen. There's sins that have been committed. And they look at that and they go, well, something good might have come of me, but because of that, I'll never get past it. It looms so large that it overshadows the present. Got a little bit. I'm going to tell the story. There was a young lady who was in high school. She was blowing and going. She had plans. She had dreams to go to college, get a good job, build a life for herself. And through no fault of her own, she finds herself homeless. All of those dreams just went right out the window. But she worked hard. She graduated from high school. Then after that, even though she was still homeless, she got into Harvard University. She graduated, has a career and a life. You may have seen the movie, Homeless to Harvard, I think is the name of the movie. But they made a movie about her life because she did not let her past define her future. Because God is bigger than your past. God is bigger than your fears because God is still God and he will work in your life and he will do things you can't even imagine that he would do. And I don't care if you're 2 or you're 202, he will still do it. He's still going to work in your life and move. So Jabez asked for more. And how did God respond? Look at the last sentence in the second verse that we read there in verse 10. He said he asked for all this stuff, and God did what? Granted his request. We say, well, that's great that God granted Jabez's request, but will he do that in my life? Well, to answer that question, I'm going to read you a scripture. We'll put it up on the screen. I'm going to ask you a few questions. And this is 1 John 5:14-15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked him. Okay? Now I want to ask you some questions. Does God want to bless you and to move in great ways? This is yes. This is no. This is Okay. Does he want to pour out his spirit on you, empower you, to grow you, to heal you, to expand his kingdom in and through you? Yes. Does he want to teach you, bring you more understanding, more wisdom and guidance and peace? No. Does he want to use you and this church in greater ways than he has in the past? Yep. Does he want to use you to reach the lost? Yep. Does he want to bless you and give you more grace than ever before, leading you into a more vibrant and active faith than you can ever imagine? Yes. So if that's what he wants to do, according to this verse that's on the screen, what will he do? He will do it. If you ask for it, he will give it to you. Jabez asked. And if we ask, God will grant your request. No question about it. I don't know about you, but I do want God to bless me. I want him to bless me now. I want him to bless me tomorrow. I want to bless every day, and he's promised he'll do that. I want him to move in my life. I want him to move in my family's life, in the church, so that all that he has done in the past is great, but we're looking at what he's doing now and going, wow, this is even better. I want more. How about you? I want more blessings, more influence, more of God, and I don't want my past to determine my future. If that is what you would like to experience, ask. Jabez asked. God granted his request. We looked at that scripture. If we ask, because that's what God wants to do in our life, he will grant our request. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." God granted his request. May God give us that same desire, that desire for more. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so glad that you're never through in my life. There's always more you want to show me, more ways you want to grow me, more things you want me to be involved in, more ways you want to use me. Father, it is just amazing. Because I know myself, and when I look at myself and I see who I am down deep inside, I see the mistakes I've made, I see the past that looms so large. There are times I look at myself and I say, I don't know why. I don't know why you would use me. I don't know why you would bless me. I don't even know why you would love me sometimes, Lord. But you do. It never changes. Your love is steadfast. Your love is true. Your patience and your grace and your mercy are new every single day. Sometimes moment by moment. Father, you just pour yourself into me, and I am so thankful for that. And Lord, I'm thankful for all that you've done, but I do want more. Just like my cousin, I want to do it again and again and again. I want you to bless me again and again. Not for my glory, but for yours. I want to see you do great things so that I'll have more to celebrate. More to praise and more to share with those around me as we celebrate together all that you do. Father, thank you because you have saved me. But thank you that is not all that you have done in my life, but you have moved in my life in great ways, and you want to move even greater ways in the future. So Lord, help me open up my heart. Help me open up my mind and my life to all that you want to do. Don't let me stand in the way of what you want to do. Help me seek you. Just ask you to do these things because, Lord, I know you will. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy, and thank you for being involved in our lives. Help us to take that love and that influence and use it in the lives around us to show them more of who you are. And that way we can learn from one another and we can share that love with those who don't know it. We pray this in Jesus' name.